to start. Thank you, Senator Thompson. So we have a quorum now. Thank you. We really appreciate it. Members, welcome, and people in the audience, we are delighted to have an opportunity today to appoint our Commissioner of to recommend the appointment of our Commissioner of Education and three other members who have applied for different boards, or four, I believe, three. And that's going to be our meeting for today. So we have a short meeting, and after that, we're going to try to have some conversations with different members that we would like to connect with to really look at the agenda for the next few hearings of this committee. So that's how we are going to use this afternoon. I really appreciate that you're here. And since we have a quorum, we're going to begin our meeting, and we're going to call Commissioner Brenda Casilius to accompany our committee. And in front of you, members, you have a file that has the commissioner's paperwork, her resume, and all of the paperwork that is submitted to by the governor's office and the Secretary of State. All of the documentation is in front of you, so that if you have any questions, you could feel free to ask. Commissioner, we are delighted that you have decided to come and work for the state of Minnesota and take a tremendous challenge. We think that big challenges come with great opportunities, and we know of your commitment to children, your background. I was privileged to know you before you were recommended for appointment by the governor. I know personally about your passion and your commitment to children, to build equity in our education system, to build excellence in our education system, and how you have worked with everyone to build partnerships to ensure that we move together as a community to open opportunities for every kid. So we would like to have the opportunity to hear from you and hear about a little bit about your background. Your family's here, and yes. I am so impressed. So, and I ask about the ages of your kids because I think that really brings all of it together. Mm-hmm. People can see that we live this every day, mm-hmm. that our kids, you know, are part of this amazing system that we are trying to reshape and improve every day. So we have Annie in the back, and she's 12. We have Charlie, 11. And we have Christian, that is 23. So you're with your three children, and your husband, Jason, is here. So we really thank you for coming here with your mom and your partner and just witness this great exercise that we do in our committee. So thank you, Commissioner, and please feel free to address the committee however you see pertinent.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and Senators, and thank you for this opportunity to appear before you today to share a little bit about myself and, more importantly, about some of the great things the team at the Minnesota Department of Education has been able to accomplish in just two short years. I believe more strongly than I did 2 years ago when I accepted this challenge that with Governor Dayton's leadership, Minnesota is positioned to accelerate learning for our children in a way that is unprecedented in the history of this state. Before I go any further, I want to just acknowledge my family and Dr. Josie Johnson, who's here as well. She has been an incredible role model who has helped me persevere and appreciate what it means to be a committed public servant. She is a big reason why I'm here today, and I want to thank her for being so supportive of me. There are others in the audience who have supported me over the years, who have held me accountable and pushed me to be my best me and take on big challenges as we face today to ensuring every child, regardless of race, gender, or circumstance, has the opportunities they need to achieve at their highest potential. As a young girl growing up in the Glendale projects of Southeast Minneapolis, I learned the value of community and experienced firsthand the power of education as a great equalizer. My mother, a single parent in her teens, raised my sister and I with help from an extended family, supportive community, and necessary government assistance that gave us a hand up and not a hand out. But was the balance of these three support systems that helped me believe that ahead could be a better future for myself. I grew up during the Minnesota Miracle and Title I. I was a Head Start baby who early on had adults who believed in me, and therefore I believed in myself. And I knew if I worked hard and got a good education, I could be anything I wanted and do anything I set my sights on. I realized I might have to work a little harder than others, but if I stayed determined, I could do anything. I believed that in this great state, in this great nation, there was great opportunity. My favorite book as a child was Harold and the Purple Crayon. I love this book. I think because Harold had the power in his hand to draw his reality. He could imagine his dreams and just simply cast his purple crayon and make it happen, taking him on grand adventures. We all know it's not that easy. Many of you may have a similar story as I do. But I do believe that as leaders working toward a single purpose, we can cast a brighter future for our children and take real steps in making it a reality. Truly, our democracy depends on us doing so. Programs like a strong local park board with athletics and after-school activities, summer camp programs, amazing Head Start and high-quality early learning opportunities made the difference for me. High-quality pre-K and kindergarten teachers who inspired me and expected me to do my best, who instilled early within me a lifelong love of learning. I was lucky to have the opportunities as a young girl, and that is why you see me champion them now. Because every child deserves the same great start that I got to help them achieve their dreams, and it should not come down to luck. Lucky I was born in the right decade. Lucky that there was enough government programming to help me. Lucky that I had the right zip code. Lucky that adults in my life held high expectations of me. These should be given to every child, regardless of factors, and should not be left to luck. As a young adult, I volunteered at the same camp I went to as an underprivileged kid, and I attended. While in my senior year of college, I worked at St. Joseph's Home for Abused and Neglected Children. I worked as a paraprofessional at Harrison Secondary School in North Minneapolis with adolescents diagnosed with severe emotional and behavior challenges. Through these experiences, I affirmed my love for children and decided to further my education and earn my license to teach. I continued my education to become a teacher at the St. Thomas University, where I earned my Master's of Teaching and later my Specialist in Administration. I was a middle school social studies teacher, and at 27, I became a school administrator for the first time. Joanne Knuth is here, and she was my first principal to oversee my leadership. I was a school administrator for 9 years until I joined Dr. Carol Johnson in Memphis, where she asked me to join her cabinet as an academic superintendent for middle schools. In Memphis, I led the reform of 31 middle schools, 25,000 students, most of which were 100% poverty and 100% African American. At the time, the middle schools were in a crisis, and only 4 of the 31 were making AYP. 17 were in corrective action from the state. Memphis was the 17th largest school district in the nation at the time, with 122,000 students and an overall poverty rate of 76% and 90% African American. At the time I arrived, they still used corporal punishment. I knew this new challenge would present an opportunity to do the work I was most passionate about, helping children overcome enormous odds and helping the adults to help them. Memphis was my first chance at a big system change. One of my proudest accomplishments is that within 2 years, our middle school team went from 4 of the 31 schools making AYP to 22 making AYP. That success continued after I returned to Minnesota, and 1 year after I left, all but four of the middle schools were making AYP. That, too, wasn't easy. We implemented a variety of reforms that included added parent liaisons, rigorous courses, world language, and reading intervention. We also ensured the highest quality teachers and administrators by reconstituting 7 schools. 1 year into my tenure, Dr. Johnson asked me to lead the district-wide elimination of corporal punishment. This was huge given 70% of the community surveyed wanted to keep it, and so did most of the school staff. We replaced it by using positive behavior and intervention systems. This, too, was no easy task, and it required a lot of shared effort, but it had to be done in order to shift the school cultures present in the hallways and classrooms. And after the first year, we saw dramatic decreases in suspensions and expulsions, and most importantly, increases in student learning. I returned home to Minneapolis Public Schools and led their secondary redesign and oversaw middle and high schools. There, too, I led the difficult work of redesigning the high schools. Every year, Minneapolis saw increases in reading and math and graduation rates for its high schoolers. They also saw increases in student access to rigor across all high schools with the addition of IB. I left Minneapolis to lead the East Metro Integration District. It was an incredible opportunity to work with 10 East Metro districts around an equity agenda, a job I loved and would have never thought I would leave, because what I saw wasn't a district of two schools, but an opportunity to, again, have big impact, touching through shared leadership 122,000 students on the East Metro. Through the shared vision of equity and excellence, I had an awesome opportunity of working with 10 incredible school superintendents on an integrated, high-quality learning communities within and among our districts. Which brings us to today. I have been thinking a lot this past week about what Marian Wright Edelman said at the Martin Luther King breakfast. She reminded all of us that a child has only one childhood, and that childhood is now. They don't get a second chance. There are no do-overs, because time does not wait for us adults to get it right. So we have to do our part now, and that is why I made the difficult decision to step aside from the superintendency. I stepped aside from the job I love so I could do my part in making a difference for nearly a million children, 70,000 teachers and school leaders. I couldn't say no, especially after talking to Dr. Josie Johnson and realizing the sacrifices of others who have come before me and the many other public servants who have made the difference for me. Public service is not easy, and I must admit that at times it can be quite overwhelming. However, I am a stronger and better person for it, and I am humbled daily to have this opportunity to serve with the governor and Governor Mark Dayton and to be and do the best I can for children of Minnesota. I have been in this appointed position since the day our governor took the oath of office, and in the past 2 years, I have learned a great deal about the value of government and the service it provides to Minnesota people. As I've grown into this position, I've gained a new perspective of the role legislature and the governor play in shaping this great state, and I'm honored to be here today. These past 2 years, we have successfully debated and enacted bipartisan reforms that have moved us closer to ensuring every student in every classroom has a high-quality teacher. We have provided the first steps in securing more stable funding for our classrooms and created a sound set of policies that eliminated unfunded mandates and restored a better balance between local control and local school autonomy and stronger accountability. Last week, I presented a high-level summary of the agency, our work, and accomplishments over the past 2 years to this committee. Those highlights include a bipartisan alternative certification law, new teacher and principal evaluation systems, a new third grade literacy initiative that saw gains in all our third graders' reading and gap closure at every subgroup. In a $5 billion deficit, we worked together with Governor Dayton's leadership and insistence to ensure and secure additional funding for pre-K scholarships and an overall increase in funding to our schools by $132 million. We also won several highly competitive grants from the USDOE totaling over $120 million, including the Federal Race to the Top Early Learning Challenge Grant for $45 million, the Charter Replication Grant for $28 million, our School Improvement Grants, Local Promise Neighborhood Grants, and Minnesota was among the first 10 states to secure better school accountability under No Child Left Behind. Just as important, the whole team at the Minnesota Department of Education is focused and changed the way we work, moving from an agency that focused on monitoring compliance to one that provides strategic supports. This way, we deliver better services to students, teachers, and schools, and better government to Minnesotans, a top priority of this governor's. The governor set forth in the first few months of his administration a vision for education, the 7-point plan. We have stuck to that vision, we have resisted the shiny reforms of the day, and have stayed strategically focused on what research says works. There hasn't been a lot of new money, so we intentionally invested in smaller number of reforms to get the greatest return on investment. Together, we have much to be proud of over these past 2 years, and together we can achieve the vision of better schools for a better Minnesota if we stay the course. And let me just close with some really early results, because in the end, that's what matters. Although not good enough, we are bending the curve. Over the past year, we have seen math scores go up, reading scores go up, and graduation rates are up. We are seeing the narrowing of achievement gaps among some subgroups. But this much is also true. There is so much more we need to do before we achieve the ultimate goal of making sure every single student has what he or she needs to be successful, and all barriers to opportunity are removed. I look forward to continuing our work together. And like one of my quotes that John Maxwell has said, one is too small a number for greatness. The successes we've achieved over the past 2 years are not mine alone, nor are they Governor Dayton's or the legislature's alone. They belong to all of us. Together we are stronger and united, and we are remarkable when we are together. We will accomplish great things for our children, and in so doing, ensure a better future for Minnesota and all of us. Thank you for having me here today.
Thank you, Commissioner. So much appreciate that presentation, and thank you for letting us know about your history and your commitment, all of your background. Members, do you have any questions for the commissioner? Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Chairwoman Torres-Wright. Commissioner, thank you for the recap, and I would like to say I certainly enjoyed working with you with that adding new money to our schools in light of a $5 billion deficit.
Yes.
And I'm glad to see that those additional funds were not just additional money, but they actually paid off.
Yes.
And we are seeing increased results across the board, alternative licensure, focus on literacy. I think early literacy is paying off. And so I'm very pleased about that. There are two things, however, I want to ask you about that I have a little bit of more concern about. That I'm hoping you can grant some clarity to. And one has to do, we mentioned, I think when you were here last week, about the math grad test. And I understood in your, and of course the concern is that we have so many students who are not going to pass that test, which is a concern in and of itself, but I'm just not sure that the correct remedy is to say we are not going to have that test. So I know you talked about doing some streamlining with higher ed, and certainly I look forward to working on that, maybe having an ACT test instead, but I'd like you to address that. Mm-hmm. And then I have a second piece, which has to do about the social study standard. So I'll ask that next, but if you could kind of address this streamlining of the higher ed K-12 piece, and particularly to the point about eliminating the math grad.
Yes.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Senator Nelson, thank you for the question. We had an assessment task force that has brought forth some recommendations around the math grad. As you've mentioned, there's some urgency around being able to resolve those issues. Otherwise, we are at risk of denying diplomas to over 80% of African-American students, and almost subgroups look like that, as well as 44% of white students. And so we need to be looking at the appropriateness of that exam, and we had a task force that brought forth recommendations. It's a very long discussion around what we might replace it with, and I think we'll be looking at that in this committee for sure, talking about that and having some of the research experts that presented at the committee presenting here as well. We aren't looking at eliminating the grad solely. We are looking at something like end of course exams or ACT or some other measurement that would take the place of that so that we can be sure that kids are college ready. So the recommendation that came from the assessment task force was that they are college ready assessments and aligned so that the Minsky system and universities accept those.
Thank you. And might I follow up with one other question?
Thank you. Before you move, Senator Nelson, I want to make sure, obviously you know this, but for the audience and for all the other members, this has been, Commissioner, an issue that almost every single member has expressed a very strong desire to have a conversation about,
yes.
Particularly in the Senate, since we have, you know, 4 years to work on this. We want to have a very practical, direct approach that will really review the recommendations that have been put together by experts, your recommendations, as well as the recommendations of the different members. And we want to present some very strong, want to put together strong language to really address this issue. So I'm glad that Senator Nelson brings this question before you, because this is going to be a core issue for us. As you know,
yeah.
We've had years of presentations, reviews.
Right.
People agree there's a very strong support in the community to do something about this. So we intend to do it. That's one of our core responsibilities for this year. And the committee headed by Senator Kevin Dahl will be addressing this pretty soon.
Very good.
So,
and thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for mm-hmm. your leadership to move the ball that way. Mm-hmm. My second question has to do with the social studies standards. And I think maybe Senator Wieger and I are the only folks who were here in 2003 and 4 when we developed those standards and we replaced kind of that fuzzy profile of learning with real standards. And it was quite a bipartisan effort, I recall. And my question has to do about with the social study standards. One of the things that is in legislation, in law, is that on a reviewing cycle, certainly the department needs to review those standards, which is now we're up and it's time to review those social study standards. But my question is, I recall the discussion at the time of the standards legislation that was passed, and I reread the law, just to make sure my memory was correct, and it's very clear that the department must, on this annual or this cyclical review cycle, review standards. But it's also very clear that the department cannot change the standards, totally revise or rewrite new standards. And if I understand the current situation, and you might need to update me as what happened at the result of the court hearing that was in December on this. My understanding is, though, the law is very clear. You cannot change the benchmarks. So while we need to have the standards revised or reviewed, they cannot be revised to the extent where there needs to be new benchmarks. And so my question is, are you pursuing new benchmarks? Because the law is very clear. That requires legislative authority. And so are the social study standards that your department is looking at now, are you pursuing new benchmarks to go with the revisions to those social study standards?
Commissioner Casilius.
Madam Chair, Senator Nelson, the process for designing the current social study standards has been in place before me coming, and they've started to go through with that. And so Dr. Beth Owney, who leads all of our academic standards and leads the office, has been working with hundreds of teachers and key stakeholders across the state, and also was at the hearing and responded. The administrative law judge now currently is reviewing the academic standards and benchmarks and will be making his recommendations on the about middle February, I think it's February 15th. And so at that time, that's when I need to make my final judgment on the standards as a whole.
Just to follow up then.
Thank you, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So do you have a proposal, or does your proposal that the ALJ is looking at right now, does it change the benchmarks? Does it change the social studies benchmarks?
So, Senator Nelson, Madam Chair, I think that, you know, once the ALJ is finished with his review, then we'll make comment on all of the rest of the review on the standards and benchmarks. At that time, we want to give everybody's conversation and weigh into the hearing equal consideration, and so I'm waiting on the review from the administrative law judge.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I think it might be helpful if, maybe not today, but if the committee did have the statute that talks about a standards review, and it lists very clearly the cycle that it should be on, and also when legislative authority is required. And I'm wondering if we might be able to get that for our next meeting.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
Senator, I think I'm going to ask our staff, maybe Ms. Butler could make a copy of that and make sure that every committee member will receive that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think this recommendation to have this information before us is very helpful. So whenever you have a recommendation, thank you, Senator Nelson, so that when we prepare to hear, if we have a hearing on the issue, we will know what the statute and the rules actually say about that. I think that will be very helpful. Senator Chamberlain, you had a...
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you. Commissioner Casilius, two things. Charter schools and equity. Equalization. As you know, charter schools in this state pioneered in this state in mid-90s, top in the nation. We just had read another story report about how we rank in with charter schools. Concern, and we want to keep that strong. But my concern is over the last couple of years, we had some concerns and citizens coming to us with some complaints about how long it took to get through the Department of Education. And they sensed that charter schools were not that were not as important to the MDE as they were to other people, and we think they offer great alternatives to children and parents in the state. So I'd like to have your comments on that. And the second one is equalization. The budget, the governor and your budget plan for education did not address one of the most important issues that faces many of us in the suburbs and throughout the state, and that's equalization that was put in place due to a court case in the early 90s. Equalization, I believe, should be in the budget. It was not included or even addressed. It was simply a lot of money put at these different issues without addressing it. And that's a big concern, because we can put more money into the system, but if we don't address equalization, we just keep the inequality between different districts growing and growing. So could you comment on those two things, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Senator Chamberlain, thank you for the question. In regard to charter schools, I have the same value for charter schools, and this administration does, as any public school. And I see them as public schools, and that was demonstrated in the school trust land work that we did together over the past year to include them in receiving those funds. I do realize that when I inherited the department, there were some additional staffing and strengthening of the charter office we had to do, and under Rose Hermanson's leadership, I think we've been able to set forward a really strong authorization process that one, I think if you talked with charter authorizers and charter directors now, you would find it was very supportive. And we just received a $28 million grant in which we've awarded 5 new charter schools for replication. So we do value charter schools. We think it's good for public choice in Minnesota. Again, I think there's something in the paper just today on NPR saying that we're number one in the nation for our public school choice and charter laws. So in regard to the governor's budget and equalization and disparity, we also recognize that disparity is an issue, and I think the governor has said very clearly that this was the first word but not the last word in his budget, and that he will take all good ideas. The reason it wasn't included was because of the revenue issue on the table. I think in the working recommendations of the working group, you saw a general ed levy that would address some of that disparity. But at this point, we did not have the revenues to be able to fully commit to that in the future. So that's why it's not included at this point.
Thank you. And Senator, I wanted to make sure, Senator Chamberlain and members of the committee, you know, during the I came to the Senate in 2006, and during my first years, we had Senator Salzman really leading tremendous reform and efforts with charter schools. And we did a tremendous amount of work. And then during the last 2 years, we had many champions doing a lot of work here. So, Commissioner, part of what I think some members will be expressing kind of desire and concerns about, you know, what next? How do we continue to review kind of the progress we make? How do we support the schools that are working? How can they grow? How do we deal with reviewing those that are just not able to do it? What districts are doing innovative things, working in partnerships? My own district is doing some very interesting work. So I don't know if we, you know, are ready to bring things kind of before our committee, but clearly from an administrative point of view, we will be coming to you kind of to review some of that work that has been done during the last 6 years to figure out, you know, how do we continue to maintain that level of excellence and that name that we put in the map in the country.
Yeah.
So I think this is an issue that interests some members, and probably we will hope that you will help us kind of through administrative work figure out where do we go now. Senator Wigger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Caselius, you are an inspirational life story. Growing up in Minneapolis, a Head Start baby, you are a shining example of success, the American dream coming true. I'm very proud you are the commissioner. You have, through the leadership with your team and others, including legislators, have put together a 7-point plan for reform. And that's up to us, ultimately, as to how we're going to deal with literacy, early learning opportunities, all-day K funding, et cetera, but you have put together through various task forces a number of recommendations. There isn't always agreement, just as there won't be here, but you've put together a plan to do that, and that's what we ask, and priorities, but ultimately it'll be up to us. So I'm very pleased with that. Again, so impressed with your life story through college and becoming a highly effective teacher, a highly effective assistant principal and principal administrator, superintendent, and now commissioner at a success every place along that journey. Kudos to you for your accomplishments. To your family, thank you for being here and for sharing her with Minnesota, with nearly 1 million students that are counting on her leadership, employers as well, in preparing our future learners. So I proudly move that we recommend the appointment of Dr. Brenda Caselius as Commissioner of Education and that we forward that recommendation to the floor of the State Senate.
Thank you, Senator Wager. Any other questions? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Caselius, we've worked together quite a bit and on that, what I think was a historic moment in education policy in the state on the teacher evaluation law. And it was hard fought, and I think we spent that entire first year almost talking about that issue. And we came to a bipartisan agreement, the administration and the legislature. And as you know, the work isn't finished as it relates to teacher evaluation. And there's important questions around implementation. I'm sure that there'll be a set of recommendations that the department will put forward. A lot of that will be based on the work done by the task force. I'm particularly concerned with that, of course, being the chief house author of that bill. And I'm concerned that some of the comments I've heard from some legislators is, and it's been a full range. Some fully embrace the evaluation. Some have said very recently they don't believe evaluation is necessary, that the teacher evaluation law wasn't necessary. Some have said the element of the bill that required 35% of a teacher's evaluation be tied to tangible measures of student performance so that we make sure our kids are actually progressing in the way that we hope they will. Are you committed to that bipartisan framework that was agreed upon 2 years ago? And in particular, are you committed to resisting any efforts, whether it be legislative efforts or efforts from outside groups, to watering down that 35% attachment to student achievement in particular?
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Senator Peterson, I am committed to getting the best evaluation system in place for the teachers of Minnesota. Teachers want to be evaluated. They want feedback. They come every single day wanting to do the best for their kids, and that evaluation information to them is incredibly valuable for them in being able to change their practice and work with their colleagues. The committee that we had in the task force that's developing the model framework had talked about a holistic kind of computation of the 35%. It was up to the commissioner to determine what that would be. And what I did was say that we needed to stay true to the statute at the time and go back to the computation. I am committed to enforcing the statutes that are made by this body. And that's up to the debate at this body and all of the other key stakeholders that come here. But as commissioner, I will carry that work out and carry that forward.
Thank you, Commissioner. And you have our support in that as well. That's another key issue that members of this committee will be reviewing and coming forward with recommendations. Senator Peterson.
Well, thank you, Commissioner, for that. And I appreciate that. And I guess what I was maybe getting at more directly was, will the department take a position if the legislature decides to go in that direction of maybe changing the original framework, in particular as it relates to that measure of student achievement? Will the department take a position against legislative efforts to do that? Or I guess I'm looking for where you'd be at if someone were to put something forward that would attempt to change that bipartisan framework.
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Senator Peterson, it's not wise, I don't think, to comment on legislation that's not right before me. And so I would have to look at the bill, review the bill, see what kind of commentary was made by key stakeholders, and then take a position. And also be in counsel with the governor about his positions on those things as well, seeing as he has to sign the bill. So I think it's premature to give a position or a statement on what I would say in terms of the teacher evaluation law. I think currently it's a good start, it's a good law, and we are going to be piloting it this fall. And there may be some slight tweaks that we need to make to it so that it can be the most effective law that it is.
Thank you.
Just one more follow-up.
Senator Peterson.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. Commissioner, you had mentioned in your discussion about your history and some of the things that the department has accomplished, some of that with the legislature, and you had mentioned something about resisting shiny reforms of the time or something like that. Could you just shed some light on which reforms you're referring to and what that really means?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Senator Peterson, many reforms across the nation have come up, and policies have come up that I don't personally agree with, that I don't think have any research base to them. And we struggled with some of those this past 2 years. And I don't know that you want me to get into naming all of them that we didn't agree with, but I think it was very public that we didn't agree with vouchers or LIFO or other reforms such as that really don't have a direct impact on improving the education for children.
Thank you. Any other questions, members? Thank you. Thank you again, Commissioner. I am also very proud to see really the work that you've been able to do. I am particularly impressed with your ability to bring experts to the table and to convene these conversations. They have not been easy. And I commend you for being open to really have these conversations with people who disagree with you. And it has been, we have had some difficult times. You know, we don't have the funding to do all of the things that we would like to do. We have great ideas floating out there, but we don't have the resources to implement them. We have a lot of autonomy in, 400-plus districts who really would like to maintain that autonomy, that are doing great things. And you have been a convener of these dialogues. So I am impressed with that ability to be open to these ideas, and I think that is the only way we can make a difference, if we are open to new ideas, challenging ideas, ideas that may not be popular with everyone, that we personally disagree with, but that may help us improve this system. So Senator Wigger moves that we recommend the confirmation of Mrs. Brenda Casilius as Commissioner of Education. All of those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Those opposed say no.
No.
Motion passes. Thank you, Commissioner, and congratulations. We move now to review the three different members that have been recommended for three different boards. The first one is a candidate for the board of the Purpich Center for the Arts and Education. I think that Ms. Bill is here. So please come to the table. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Thank you for applying for this. Thank you for pursuing this. And we know that you had great support from many members in the community, and we know of your commitment. So we would like to offer you an opportunity to tell us about yourself and tell us about your interest in being part of this board.
Okay. Well, Madam Chair, members of the Senate, my husband and I are dairy farmers.
Excuse me, Ms. Beal, could you please introduce yourself and say your name for the record?
My name is Eunice Beal. I'm from Harmony, Minnesota. My husband and I are dairy farmers from Fillmore County. I have lived in Fillmore County my entire life. We farm in partnership with our son and I have 7 grandchildren who are going to rural schools. When I was in elementary school or in high school, there was not very many art programs in a rural school of Harmony. Since then, they've consolidated. Our children went to high school in Fillmore Central. There was no art programs because it was the first thing that was cut the budget. I have 7 grandchildren now who are going to Fillmore Central, and we have an art program. But I've always felt strongly that living in a rural area, we need to bring things to us. We need the help. So I hope to be an advocate to inform the schools in District 1 about the programs from the Purpich Institute so that they can access their wide range of curriculum, lesson plans. I'm just learning about everything the Purpich Institute has to offer for schools throughout the state. And I'm kind of very impressed the more I learn, and my role so far has just been learning about what they have to offer, and I hope to pass this on to the schools in our area.
Thank you, Ms. Beal. Any questions from members?
Senator Nelson. Oh,
thank you, Madam Chair. Oh, just a comment. The Purpich Center for the Arts, I'm so glad that you're from outstate Minnesota and you're going to be on that board. They have a wonderful outreach to schools throughout the state in art education. And I want to encourage you to continue with that focus so that we can make sure that all of our schools throughout the entire state, all of our teachers have access to that type of support and talent from the Purpich Center. So good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Senator Nelson, would you like to
move? I would like to move confirmation, Madam Chair, of Ms. Eunice Beal.
Thank you so much, Senator. So Senator Nelson moves to recommend the confirmation of Mrs. Eunice Beal. All of those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Those opposed say no. The motion is approved. Congratulations, Ms. Beal. Next in the agenda, we have two board members that are not here today, and we have someone here who wishes to speak on behalf of Mrs. O'Brien. Mrs. Karen Ballmer is here from the Board of Teaching, and we'd really appreciate that you're able to do this. We had a very short window of opportunity to call these individuals to present and to introduce themselves. And unfortunately, we have two that are out of town, and Ms. O'Brien is not here. So thank you for taking the time to come here and help us learn more about her background.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Karen Ballmer. I'm the director for the Minnesota Board of Teaching, speaking to you today on behalf of our newest board member, Diane O'Brien, who joined us just a number of months ago. And as you heard Chairwoman Torres-Ray mention, she is out of town, but she did provide a letter that she may be in your materials, but at any rate wanted to read on her behalf for you this afternoon. Dear Senator Torres-Ray and committee members, because of a previously scheduled out-of-state family vacation, I will not be able to attend the January 29th Senate Education Committee meeting that will consider confirming my appointment as a public member of the Minnesota Board of Teaching. If there are questions from the committee that I could answer via email, I would be happy to do so. I would also like to assure you that I am honored that Governor Dayton chose to appoint me to the Board of Teaching last year. I have tried to live up to that honor and have participated in the board's meetings from September 2012 through January 2013. I value the opportunity to contribute to the core mission of the Minnesota Board of Teaching, ensuring that Minnesota children receive instruction from exemplary, fully qualified, licensed teachers. Thank you for considering my appointment. Sincerely, Diane O'Brien. I don't know that I can speak on behalf of Board Member Diane O'Brien, but I'm certainly happy to answer any questions that you may have about the Board of Teaching, and she certainly has been a great addition to our board.
Thank you, Ms. Ballmer. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Ms. Ballmer. And I won't ask you to speak for Diane. If you could update the committee on where the Board of Teaching is at as it relates to the law that was passed in a bipartisan manner relating to alternative certification, where we're at.
Senator Peterson, we will open this opportunity to talk about this. Definitely we will have ample opportunities, and we will bring you back, Ms. Ballmer, to present and respond to this question. I'm not necessarily sure, to ask Ms. O'Brien, perhaps a position on that issue would be pertinent, but she's not here. So I would like to request, Senator Peterson, if you could save that question for the present. We will have a presentation on that issue, and Ms. Ballmer will be asked to come and present.
I will do so, Madam Chair. I just want to say, for the record, that there are some with the opinion that the law that was passed is not being lived up to by the Board of Teaching, and I hope that we can take that issue up and really have that discussion. We're talking about the appointment of someone who's designated to uphold the law, mm-hmm. and their position on whether or not and their interpretation of that is important as it relates to their appointment. But I'll hold that debate for another day.
Absolutely, Senator Peterson. In fact, we had a meeting with a group of stakeholders in the Minneapolis Foundation. I think it was shortly before the election, and then they met again. I wasn't present, but I think this is an issue that we will be reviewing, Ms. Ballmer, because Senator Peterson is correct that there are, Senator Bonhoeff, others are really interested in reviewing that. So we will be calling you to help us understand what's going on, how the process is moving, and what direction we're taking, because that's an important issue. Thank you, Senator
Peterson. Could I request a roll call, Madam Chair?
Thank you, Senator Peterson. A roll call has been requested, yeah. And a roll call will be granted. Senator Wieger.
Yes, thank you. Madam Chair, Ms. O'Brien seems qualified. I had a question that there's not an attachment on the sources of compensation securities, and usually for each nominee we have that. I think this says nothing reported. Just as a matter for the record, it's good to have that for each nominee. I believe that would be for the next one as well. So if that could be provided on its way to the floor.
Thank you, Senator Wieger. Our staff is taking note. I was going to introduce Mr. Kelly early before our committee, but I will do it after we do this. Make these recommendations. We will take note of that, and we'll make sure that every committee member receives a copy of the page. I think that our staff has that information, and we will email it to you as soon as our meeting is over. Any other questions? So on the motion to move to recommend the confirmation of Mrs. Diane O'Brien, a roll call has been requested, and it will be granted. The secretary will take the roll.
Senator Torres Ray.
Yes.
Senator Dahl.
Yes.
Senator Nelson.
Yes.
Senator Carlson.
Yes.
Senator Chamberlain.
Yes.
Senator Clausen.
Yes.
Senator Franzen.
Yes.
Senator Johnson.
Yes.
Senator Kent.
Yes.
Senator Nenow.
Yes.
Senator Peterson.
No.
Senator Rood.
Yes.
Yes.
Senator Thompson.
Yes.
Senator Wieger.
Yes.
Senator Wicklund.
Yes.
There being 14 votes in favor and one opposed, the motion is approved, and the committee will move to recommend the confirmation of Mrs. O'Brien for the Board of Education. Thank you, Ms. Ballmer. And thank you, members. Board of Teaching, excuse me. Members, we now have to review the recommendation for Gary Lazards, and we have his resume in front of us. I would appreciate if you could take a couple of minutes just to review it. Mr. Lazards also sent a brief bio so that you have a sense of his background. He is from Faribault, Minnesota. He was born and raised there, as you can see in his bio, and has been very committed to public education and has been involved in his community for many years. I would like to give you a minute to read his bio, and then I will entertain a motion to move to confirm Mr. Gary Lazards to the Board of the Minnesota State Academies. Any questions, members?
Madam Chair, I move the appointment of Gary Lazards to the Board of Minnesota State Academies.
Senator Dahl recommends that we moves to recommend the confirmation of Mr. Gary Lazard as a member of the Board of Minnesota State Academies. All of those in favor?
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Senator, yeah,
maybe just as a courtesy for those viewing who may not have this. You or staff could just highlight his background for the record.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. I think that's a good idea. Could you please, the Secretary, I'm going to ask Mr. Kelly to read some highlights of his bio for the public.
I'm reading from this brief biography that he submitted to the committee. My name is Gary L. Lazarus, and I am a lifelong resident of Faribault, Minnesota. I was born and raised here, attended the Faribault Public Schools, and began working at the men's clothing business known as Jim and Joe's while I was in high school. I am now a business banker for the State Bank of Faribault. I believe that my experience and background in the business community would allow me to use that knowledge in dealing with the business of operating the state agency known as the Minnesota State Academies. Throughout my life, I have been an active community member, serving on a number of boards and committees. I have served on the Riverbend Nature Center Board, the Hope Center Board, and am a member of the local Sertoma Club, and have been an officer in that organization. As a Sertoma member, we have raised funds to support projects for both the deaf and the blind. I am a member of the Faribault Chamber of Commerce and am an ambassador for the Chamber. As a board member, I have a track record of regular attendance, commitment to cause, and supporting rhetoric with action. Why is he interested? My wife and I have raised our two children in this community and have a vested interest in seeing Faribault thrive. Being a child of deaf adults gives me a unique insight into the needs of deaf people. Both of my parents attended the Minnesota School for the Deaf, now called the Minnesota State Academy for the Deaf, and graduated in 1947. I grew up in a world where deafness was a way of life. My parents taught me the meaning of hard work, perseverance, determination, all necessary skills needed to be successful in life. I not only have significant experience with the disability of deafness, but have also served on the Christ Through Hands Ministry Board, which is a non-denominational Christian organization that serves both the deaf and the blind of the Minnesota State Academies. I have come to understand the challenges faced by blind people and am an advocate for the services that educate and support them. I believe that I have the knowledge and experience to be of assistance serving on the board of Minnesota State Academies. I respectfully ask your thoughtful consideration to this appointment. Sincerely, Gary Lazarus.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Wager, for your request. So on the motion presented by Senator Dahl, all of those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Those opposed say no. The motion is adopted. Thank you, members. As I said, we are going to, I'm going to use part of the time that we have left to meet with some members who have requested to meet and talk about the next steps for this committee. I'm looking forward to hear from you as we move forward with priorities for this committee. For now, we can adjourn.
Madam Chair?
Thank you. Oh, yes, Senator Wager, thank you. You have been keeping me on track. This is my first time chairing, so I definitely need the more experienced chairs. Members, I would like to introduce Mr. Brad Kelly. Finally, we have hired a person to help us with administering our committee. So I have asked Mr. Kelly to please introduce himself and give you some information. He will be working very closely with you. We have really a wonderful office where we can work together. So he will be in my office in 309, and feel free to come and ask any questions. But Mr. Kelly, please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Brad Kelly. I live in St. Paul with my wife. I have two beautiful sons, Cameron and Riaz. They attend St. Paul Public Schools. Cameron's Central and High School, plays soccer, plays the trumpet, and I'll try not to go on too long. And my younger son, Riaz, is at Capitol Hill, and I'm very honored to be here. Thank you.
Mr. Kelly, tell us a little bit about your background and your work in the House so that people know a little bit about the work that he's done before he came to the Senate.
Well, I hope the upper body doesn't hold that against me. I worked at the House for a number of years. I was a researcher over there. I followed the OSD Government Finance and Government Operations Committee, and then I also followed K-12 Finance and K-12 Ed Policy.
Thank you. Thank you. We look forward to working with you. You have any questions for Mr. Kelly? Anything you want to know?
Madam Chair, let me just say that was a great reading. You have a great voice for reading out loud, so we'll look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you. On the spot, that's exactly right. Thank you. With no other business, we're going to adjourn for today. Thank you, members.